This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Well, hello, and welcome to Frothy, home of the fun, frivolous, lowbrow froth that your group chat excels at. We're here to talk about the best things in the world of pop culture, from celebrities to influencers and all of the nonsense in between. And you're, of course, joined by me, Elle, a London-based 27-year-old writer. That's not true. I am 28. I am still rusty. My goodness, guys. You're joined by me, Elle, a London-based 28-year-old writer. He spends a lot of time chatting and reading about the fun, silly topics that maybe your boss, your parents, your partner, whoever, questions why you enjoy so much. Each week, we're going to be talking about the best bits that pop culture has to offer, and this is your safe space to enjoy, dissect, and binge on the frothy nonsense that brings you a smile. Goodness me, guys, that was a mistake and a half, but we got through it. I am enjoying 28, and I do know I am 28, so I'm not quite sure where that came from. I guess we're slightly robotic today, but nonetheless, ignore that. How are you doing? How is everybody? It has been such a lovely week. The weather, I'm sure I'm sticking to the British stereotype here of talking about the weather. But guys, it's so nice. It's so lovely. I went for a run in shorts and a t-shirt the other day, and I am normally a shorts, t-shirt and jumper kind of girl. I left the jumper at home. I did not need it. It was wonderful. I'm convinced I tanned a little bit as well. So yeah, and I just think everyone is also in a much better mood. We had a few birthday celebrations over the weekend. They were outside. Everyone was just more relaxed, more joyful. Just the whole vibe changes and I am here for it, especially because last year it was so wet and just kind of grey most of the year. We didn't have the best summer, so I am so excited for this summer. I really hope this weather kind of sticks around, although of course it is only early April, so we shall see. But I think that's enough weather chat for now. That's not all we're here for. We're here to talk about the froth of the news cycle, and there has been some stuff this week, guys. It's a real sort of male man dominated week, that's okay. You know, we often talk about the women. I guess it's only fair that we turn our attentions to somebody else. And so, you know what, if that sounds up your street, then let's dive right in with the best of the brain rot, the silly stories that got us talking this week.
Hello, hello. This is Editing Eloise from the future to say two things. The first thing, I dived right into our first piece of news without clarifying who Harry was. I don't know why. I think I'm on first names basis with this guy. This is Prince Harry. I'm talking about Prince Harry, you know, Meghan Markle's husband, famed podcaster, just all round bafflement. Prince Harry. I just dive in and say Harry and I'm not sure why. Secondly, the second story we talk about, my mic sounds really odd. It sounds completely different to the rest of the episode. I have absolutely no idea why. I think I probably knocked a wire and just didn't clock at the time. So I can only apologise because it sounds... I'm not happy with how it sounds, so I can only apologise, but please either just skip it or wince through it, because I promise it improves after that.
Alrighty folks, a slightly random first story, but one that caught my eye and that relates to a video that went viral last year, so I wanted to talk about it. And that is the news that Harry has resigned from his position at Centerball. Centerball is a charity that he co-founded back in 2006, so almost 20 years ago. He founded it with Prince Siso of Lesotho, and it was launched in memory of his mother with the mission of helping people in Lesotho and Botswana who were living in poverty or facing hardship due to HIV and AIDS and the multitude of issues and just everything that comes along with that. The argument itself is slightly confusing, or the reason for him stepping down is a little bit confusing. The articles are really quite dense, but I have read a few and I'm trying to break it down and hopefully you will understand what I'm talking about. I tried. So last week, the co-founders shared a statement with the Times and said that they were leaving the charity. And within that statement, hinted at the reason for this being tensions with the charity's chair, Sophie Chukunda. The plot thickens here because the charity's trustees also stepped down. And this meant that only Sophie was left in this kind of position within the charity in her role as chair. So we have the founders and the trustees all stepping back at basically the same time. And in their statement, the trustees also blamed Sophie for their reason for stepping back, claiming a loss in trust and confidence. Interestingly, the Times reported that it was kind of suggested that the trustees were stepping back because they questioned whether moving the operations of the charity to its African arm was a wise idea. Sophie's side of things is a little different. She's told the Times that she felt that she was being pushed out of her position and that she filed to sue the charity for their attempts to push her out. She'd also reported the trustees to the UK's Charity Commission. And what the understanding seems to have been is that rather than forcing the charity to pay for the legal fees of fighting this this sue claim or this attempt to sue, the trustees have instead stepped back, removed themselves from the charity to avoid the charity having to pay that bill. So they've avoided the charity sort of having to cough up potentially millions of pounds to sort a legal battle between the chair and the trustees. The mess doesn't stop there though, because past trustees then started to speak to the UK press as well, and also criticised Sophie, with one saying that her leadership style was dictatorial, which is just, that's not a small word, and that's not a light claim. So we have on one side of the fence, Sophie, and on the other side of the fence, the founders, the current trustees and past trustees, all saying that she is the issue with this charity. She is the problem. She is, wrecking the charity, I guess, for lack of a better or more cohesive argument. Sophie, though, didn't stop there. She spoke to the Financial Times and she said that Prince Harry's negative press had been bad for business, and that she also confirmed that tension had started between her and the trustees when she moved more of the decision-making process and the operations element of the charity to its African arm. It then got messier when she told the Financial Times that her and Harry had ongoing tension because of a video that went viral last year featuring Harry, Sophie and Meghan Markle. And this video, it's taken at a charity polo match and it's the three of them plus some others organising themselves for a group photo. And in the video, it starts with Meghan standing on one side of Harry and Sophie standing on the other. And in it, Meghan, I guess, asks Sophie to come and stand next to her instead of Harry. We obviously don't have audio, we can't hear what anyone's saying, but based on gestures, it's pretty clear that Meghan has asked Sophie to come and stand next to her rather than standing next to Harry, which Sophie does so. And obviously the anti-Meghan tabloids and anybody on socials who was anti-Meghan at the time took this and ran and said that Meghan was, you know, manipulative and obsessive and power hungry and just like didn't trust any woman around her husband and couldn't let any woman stand next to her husband, which is just utterly deluded, because if you watch the video it just, it makes sense. It's a, if you put Sophie in the gap on the space next to Megan, it would make for a better photo. Megan's simply using her brain, but obviously that's not how it was taken. That's not how it was presented. And it was used to fuel the anti-Megan rhetoric. And the tension between Harry and Sophie therefore emerged when apparently, and this is what Sophie has said, Harry asked Sophie to come out potentially with Sensible and basically squash the rumours and say that the use of the video and the commentary around the video was inaccurate and not true and, you know, basically just to sort of kill the story before it got any bigger. Sophie didn't do this and kind of made the stance that Sensible was not a part of the Sussex press team or PR team, whatever you want to call it, and that Sensible should not be getting involved in this side of Harry's life. And it seems that since then, apparently, there has been tension between Harry and Sophie. And at the time of recording, that's kind of where we've got to. Everyone bar Sophie has left the charity, potentially to protect the financial strength of the charity. Although, whether or not that's true, I don't know. I have no finance background whatsoever. So hopefully that's cleared things up. What I would say is that if you are interested, I'd recommend reading the Times article on it if you can get a hold of it, because they have a killer final couple of lines that I am going to read to you now. The Times said, based on press reactions, it seems that Harry is headed for another one of his infamous flops. This time, however, he doesn't just seem like a polo-obsessed rich guy who can't make a good TV show. He's the guy who got upset when an African woman moved a charity meant to help Africans to Africa. And if that's not a mic drop in written form, I don't know what is.
The second story I wanted to just quickly dive in on, and this is the news that Russell Brand, the actor, the comedian, at this point the YouTuber, famous for being famous, we all know him, very distinctive look, very distinctive style of talk, I don't know how else to describe him. We all know what he's like. He has been charged with rape and sexual assault. This is something that I suspect we all knew was coming, or we all strongly suspected would come. It's been broken down into one count of rape, one count of indecent assault and oral rape, and two counts of sexual assault. And he will appear in early May in court in London on these charges. The Met Police have been investigating him since September 2023, and the charges apparently relate to four separate women with acts that took place between 1999 and 2005. Interestingly, the Met Police apparently began investigating Russell after receiving a number of allegations which followed Channel 4's dispatcher's investigation. And I want to say documentary, I'm not sure that's quite the right word, but Dispatch's TV show about him. Obviously, Russell has completely denied the allegations of rape, assault and emotional abuse, and has said it's just completely fabricated and totally not true. I am paraphrasing there, he hasn't said those words exactly, but you understand what I mean. I'm not sure if any of you watch the Dispatch's programme. I myself did not, just because it looked to be, and I have no doubt it is, rather heavy viewing, and I struggle with heavy viewing. It's not something I find easy to use to wind down and relax, and that's normally why I'm watching TV. So I've not yet seen it myself, but in the show, four women talked to Channel 4 and said that they have been assaulted by Russell between 2006 and 2013, during which he worked for the BBC and for Channel 4 and starred in several Hollywood films. And it was found during this investigation that formal concerns had been raised about him while he worked on Channel 4's programmes, but they were not escalated, nor were they adequately addressed. Which I think is really interesting when then Channel 4 then make this TV show about him, with potentially women who worked for them at the same time sharing their stories. But Channel 4 have always said that no evidence was found that staff were aware of accusations about the comedian that were included in the dispatches program. So it gets a bit confusing, it gets a little bit muddled. I don't often like using the phrase where there's smoke, there's fire, because I think it can encourage people to jump to assumptions, and that is not often helpful. But what I would say here is that I strongly suspect where there is smoke, there is fire. And I, having seen the number of women who came forward, or having seen the suggestions about the number of women who came forward with allegations about Russell, I find that incredibly smoky, and it would not surprise me at all. And I strongly suspect there is fire around this for certain. That's kind of sort of all I've got to say on the topic at the moment. Russell is obviously very much not working with the BBC or Channel 4 or anybody like that at the moment. He seems to be majoritively focusing on his podcast and sort of growing his platform on social media. He seems to have reinvented himself as a Christian and was baptised in the River Thames. Bizarrely, in 2024, with a ceremony that...
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The Real Real. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Included Bear Grylls. And I mean, I don't know where this content or video sits. I suspect on his YouTube channel. But it shocks me that Bear Grylls was included in this, because he seems like a pretty down-to-earth, legit guy. I can only think that this took place before the allegations came out. I have no idea. I've obviously not done enough digging. I will go away and do some digging. But yeah, I think worth talking about, because it certainly was a story that rocked the sort of pop culture, celebrity news cycle world when it came out back with the Dispatches programme.
And then guys, of course, our third story is that Robert Irwin is all grown up. For those of you who don't know, Robert Irwin is the son of Steve Irwin, who was, I mean, I've seen a couple of press articles refer to him as a crocodile hunter. I don't know if that's the case. I remember him being sort of very pro-conservation, care for the animals, respect the wildlife, look after your local area, that kind of thing. He obviously died some time ago now, and I think when he did die, his son, Robert, was only, I want to say like max 5 years old. He was teeny tiny. That is not the case anymore. He is 21, and he is all over my TikTok, has been for months. I believe his PR team behind him really started to push him from like 18 onwards. He presents I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here in Australia for the Australian version of the show, and has gone sort of from strength to strength. He runs or is a key part in the Irwin's family zoo called Australia Zoo, I want to say, which was obviously Steve Irwin's passion project, and the family have continued to run. He is the split of his dad in so many ways. The way he talks about nature, the way he presents on nature, his love of nature and his knowledge. And it's, yeah, you understand if you watch them side by side. I'm not going to over explain it. But that aside, he is 21 years old, and he is incredibly athletic, and he has posed for a series of adverts for Bonds, which seem to be an Australian underwear company, for their launch into the American market. And these photos are works of art in themselves, just because of the lighting and the like simplicity of the set. It's set in, or they're snapped in, what I remember to be sort of quite a stereotypical suburban Australian home, based on my time living in Australia, which was a while ago now. And it's him posing in the back garden with, well, just wearing a pair of Bond's underwear, but with a series of wild animals, just looking so like nonchalant and cool, calm and collected about it. There's a snake, there's a spider, there's, sorry, my finger just really clicked as I counted that on my hand. I am so sorry if the mic picked that up. What was I saying? Oh yeah, there's a snake, there's a spider, there's some sort of massive lizard, which probably isn't a lizard and I've shown my incompetence, but they are absolutely works of art, and they are everywhere. They have gone so viral, and it seems half the world is completely just feel incredibly uncomfortable about them because it's clocked. They've made them clock how old they are and how maybe they shouldn't be looking at a 21-year-old man like that. Compared to the other side of the world, which is like, crikey, did we know he was hiding all of that under his clothing? And my goodness, what wonderful photos. At 28, I feel like maybe say they're still nice photos. Maybe if I was closer to 30, I would feel a bit more icky about it. I don't know where I should sit, guys. I just know that they have done great work. They have launched him into space in terms of coverage. And he has obviously used the campaign himself to, I guess, promote conservation and wildlife and respecting wild animals. And they've obviously used him to promote the underwear. So it seems to be like a win-win. I loved that the campaign was called Made for Down Under. I don't need to over-explain it. I think it's hysterical. I'm sure you will understand it. And as part of the campaign, he did make a few videos talking about what he was doing and about kind of just, I guess, like trying a whole new world of work. What I loved is that he said, getting your gear off is way scarier than wrangling a croc. I would have to disagree, but each to their own. And he shared that his family helped him get into shape for this, with his brother-in-law, who is apparently a professional athlete, giving him a lot of great tips. And his mum, who apparently at some point was a bodybuilder, also sharing a training plan with him. They fully supported him during the shoot, which I kind of love. And he's just said they've been incredibly supportive, which, I don't know, I don't see why they wouldn't have been, but I loved all the same. It kind of really reiterates how wholesome he is in some ways. And I've got nothing really more to say on the topic apart from definitely go and take a look at the content. Definitely go and read what is said in the captions of those videos. They are hysterical and you'll be wetting yourself with laughter, I have to say. And then there's the content made around it, really. There's been all sorts of people putting themselves on the timeout corner for looking at the content. People doing the maths to check he's old enough to be looked at like that. All sorts. And that's kind of all I've really got to say on the subject. Enjoy. Alright guys, and then time for Pop to Pin, which is something I shallowed out this week and I'm hoping to come back to. Last week I popped a pin in British Vogue's article titled "So What If Emmeline Fennell's Wuthering Heights Isn't Historically Accurate?" written by Daisy Jones. And it's a short and sweet article, but I'd recommend giving it a glance if you do have the time, because Daisy's personality shines through throughout and she's quite spunky. It's got a real kind of sass to it that backs up her point and I think demonstrates that she is a fan of what she's talking about in terms of Wuthering Heights, but also is aware of the director and enjoys a retelling of a historical fiction story. She made some really good points about, you know, questioning what really matters in the retelling of a fiction story and the power of using elements of sort of like modern life to connect a historical fiction with the modern viewer. And I really enjoyed it. I wasn't sure I was going to agree with her points because I, having studied history at uni, do really like the idea of kind of keeping the story in its setting, if that sort of makes any sense, especially if you're committing to so many parts of it. If you're completely taking the story out and retelling it in the modern day, that's a bit different. But if you're setting it in its time period and then just switching out different elements that you feel you'd rather see a different time period of, I think before now, maybe I would have felt a bit sensitive over those issues or over those choices. But in a matter of minutes, she's definitely swung me round, proving once again I have little to no backbone when it comes to my opinions, apparently. And she finished on the point, which I'm going to read out, because I don't think it ruins the article, but I do think it's a strong point and I enjoyed it. She said, "It's worth remembering that in the original Wuthering Heights, Heathcliff was nearly 40 and romantically obsessed with a child. So, you know, a bit of artistic license isn't always a bad thing." Which I completely agree with, totally agree with, and also, despite having read Wuthering Heights, had completely missed the fact that he was meant to be 40 or almost 40. So you learn something new every day, and I'd recommend giving it a go. And then something that's caught my eye this week is Alona Mar's new-ish podcast with her sisters titled House of Mar. And, I mean, as we all know, I love this woman. She can do absolutely no wrong in my eyes. I am entirely obsessed, devastated I wasn't able to go and see her play as part of the Bristol Bears when she was over for her 3-month stay here in the UK. I just never quite managed to get myself organised enough. But that aside, love what she does, love what she's doing for women's rugby, and think her sense of humour is really quite funny at times. What I hadn't at all realised is that one of her sisters was the founder, sounds like the wrong word, but was the first person to coin online or to start the viral movement of girl dinner. If you're chronically online, you'll understand what girl dinner is. If you're not, it's probably for the best. It's not groundbreaking. It's very funny and I enjoy it online, but you're not missing anything. So two really quite social media powerhouses in one family. And it sounds out their younger sister is also really quite funny on socials as well. And the three of them together, it's just really nice chat. I'm saying this, I've only seen clips of this, sort of trailer clips, teaser clips online so far. So I really am just sort of skimming the top of this, but I am going to make some time this week to give it a proper listen because I think it's going to be worth my time. And I'm always looking for ways to entertain myself on my very long commute. And then of course, we've got some recommendations. And you guys, I have two recs this week, as I often do. The first, slightly expensive, but I have seen such a difference that I don't really want to keep it. And this is Elemis's Naked Pro Collagen Cleansing Balm. I think I've said that right. Either way, type it in, it'll come up. Naked just means it's not scented, but I think they do a rose scent and a couple of other scents. So pick your own scent, do what you want. But if I'm being entirely honest, have noticed a wrinkle appearing on my forehead that wasn't there a couple of years ago, and I'm not happy about it. And obviously we could go down the route of Botox or filler or just embracing and aging gracefully, and both of their you know, strengths and weaknesses. I don't have the budget for Botox, and I don't really quite feel ready for that, but I did want to do something proactively about it. And I can't remember where I read it or heard it on a podcast, but basically, apparently, you know, keeping your skin more hydrated reduces the appearance of wrinkles. And I do have dry skin most of the way round. There is a slightly oily patch here and there, but for the most part, I have dry skin. And so I figured, you know what, yeah, let's give this a go. I have been using this since about November last year. And there is actually a small chance now I'm thinking about it that I have recommended this before. So apologies if this is a repeated rec. But it has made such a difference. I'm not saying this wrinkle has magically disappeared, but it's not nearly as visible to me, and therefore I don't think to anybody else. I don't think about it as much anymore. I'm not feeling self-conscious about my forehead or my face nearly as much as I was. And it's a really nice product. Even if it wasn't working, I think I would continue to use it just because I enjoy using it so much. I use it in the evenings as part of my sort of nighttime skincare routine. And the pot has lasted. Like, I am making a dent in it, but it's not vanished. I think value for money in terms of quantity, it's definitely there. So I'd give it a go if you're also looking for something that's gonna sort of clean your skin, treat your skin, and hydrate your skin. It's been a real game changer for me. And then rec number two is slightly a little bit random, very lighthearted, lowbrow, silly, but just fun, and that's Resident Alien on Netflix. My boyfriend and I started watching this a couple of weeks back. I don't know how old the show actually is, and we've not got all the way through it, but we've watched enough of it for me to confidently recommend it. And to sort of give the storyline, or to give you some context without ruining any of the spoilers, this alien is living in this very snowy, remote part of America, but he blends in by looking like a human. I have already butchered this explanation. We're going to keep going though. Let's flog the dead horse. How do I explain this? he is going undetected while looking like a human because it's so remote and he's just not really venturing into town, and it's all going really well until he gets a knock on his door from the local policeman saying that the local doctor has been murdered or has died and that they need this man, the alien, to come and assist them with a police case because this the man that the alien is pretending to be is registered as a doctor. And it goes from there. I have not sold that very well, but give it a chance. It's a comedy. It's a little bit odd, but it works really, really well. There are some famous faces whose names have completely now escaped my brain because I am so flustered with my bad explanation. But it's worth your time if you're looking for an easy watch, something to stick on the evenings, and something to just have like a giggle about without really fussing about the storyline too much. I can't recommend it enough. As always, if you got this far, thank you so, so much. I appreciate every single listen. And I hope you enjoyed what you listened to. It's, of course, a small independent podcast. So please do tell a friend, a family member, you know, your postman, your milkman, whoever, and subscribe so you're the first to know when next week's episode drops. It really helps Frothy in the charts. And if you like what you hear and you want to see more of Amy chatting or just utter nonsense and things I find online that I think you'll enjoy, you can find Frothy on TikTok and Instagram. I hope to see you there. Have a lovely week, guys. Bye-bye.